Anyway, we've been preaching through the Bible, taking a book every Sunday and preaching through that book. Now, obviously, it's an overview. And hey, if we got lots of chairs, folks, if you need to sit down, please help yourself. Don't worry about it. You're not going to interrupt anybody, okay? But today, we are going to be in the book of Acts. David's going to be preaching on the next Sunday. But today, I'm just going to do a devotional. I want to talk to you about the kingdom of the Son. Not the sun that's in the sky, S-U-N, but the Son of God, all right? And I want to tell you a story. This story is an illustration of one of the spiritual laws of the universe, or maybe more than one. How many of you know that there are laws that govern the universe? Anybody know that? How many of you believe in gravity? Well, if you don't, I still do, because you're sitting in your chair. Nobody's floating to the ceiling. And I'm thankful for that law. And I have on my head a mark that proves that law exists. Because yesterday, my good friend Roy Bench was helping me wire my garage. And I was on a 10-foot ladder. And I left my my tape measure up there because we were running some wire in the ceiling. I left my tape measure up there and I had forgotten about it. And 10 minutes later, I went to move my ladder, and that tape measure found the top of my head. It was like a miraculous thing, like bam, the corner hit me right there. It was like, oh, and I didn't knock me out or anything, but it just proved to me that the law of gravity still exists, right? And I remember my father-in-law telling me when I was working with him, don't ever put anything on the top of a ladder. Don't even do it, right? You come down that ladder, everything comes down with you. I remember that lesson. Well, I would like, in the book of Colossians, we're going to read a scripture. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Wow. Did you know that the kingdom of darkness, the Bible calls it a dominion. It means that within that kingdom of darkness, there are rules that operate and there is power that operates that is expressed in that kingdom. And you might be going, wow, how did all this get started, you know? Because the Bible tells us that we've been rescued out of that kingdom into the kingdom of the Son of God. So how did this all start? Well, let's go to the book of Genesis. And I'm just going to give you a narrative. You don't actually have to turn there because we're going to go back into the New Testament. But if you remember, God created the heavens and the earth, didn't he? And after each day, when he got done creating what he intended to create that day, he said, and God said, it is
good.
Okay? When he created man on that day, he said, it is very good. Okay? So God created the heavens and the earth. Now, he gave the first commandment he ever gave in the Bible. A lot of times that we think that God's law is for the purpose of, you know, not allowing us to have any fun. And, you know, we think of God's law as always being, restrictive. Did you know the first three words of the first law that God ever gave are these words? You are free. You are free to eat of any tree in the garden except this one. The purpose of God's law is for freedom.
Come on, that's good.
Did you know that? Anyway, and so, of course, man did not obey God's law. Instead, Satan tempted him and convinced him that his ways were better. And so Eve and Adam sinned and they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did that, they instituted a rebellion that has affected us since that time. This is where the kingdom of darkness started. Remember the first fruit of that happening is that the man and his wife were both ashamed. It says when God found them, they said, why have you hidden yourself? They said, we were afraid when we heard your sound. But can I tell you this? That in Jesus Christ, God wants, when we hear the sound of God, God wants us to run to him.
Yeah.
Where no more are we to hide from God. He comes looking for us, right? And so this narrative continues. Now it's interesting, in the book of Psalms, I want you to know something. In case you didn't know this, God still thinks the world that he created is very good.
Yeah, come on.
Did you know that? He doesn't believe the world that he created is evil. The Bible says in Psalms that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein are his. It says again that the heavens belong to the Lord and the earth he has given to man. Did you realize that the earth is still a stewardship and that we are still stewards of the earth? Did you know that? That mandate has never changed. We've somehow come to believe that the world that we see with our visual eye, the earth, the rivers, the creeks, some people have come to think of it as evil. It's not. Nowhere does it say that it's evil. And the stewardship that God has given us has not changed. In fact, I want you to think about the things that God has created. The Bible tells us he's created family. Do you believe that family is good or evil? I believe it's intended to be good. Yeah. I mean, we can twist family things into evil things, of course. Did you know the Bible has instituted government for the protection and welfare of the nations that government governs? God created it, Romans 13. Government is good. Now, can we make it evil? Of course we can. But in the creation of God, he said it's good. And you know what? It's still good. In fact, he told us to pray for kings and all in authority that we might live quiet and peaceful lives and be able to serve God in freedom. So no matter who what you think of the political party in office or the leaders in office, pray for them.
Right. Amen.
If you think they're fools, pray harder.
Yeah.
If you think they're wise, pray that they don't think they're wise and will seek God, right? Pray. No matter who it is, pray. And many years ago, I was in Pakistan, and a young man said to me, "Pastor Jess, what do you think of our country?" And it's very different from our country. And I'm about to say, well, and he said, "I think it's the best country in the whole world."
Wow.
Well, this was a man who was speaking from faith and speaking of love that God gives to people for the nation that they live in.
Yes.
How it works. Okay? So God still has a stewardship that he has on people. But there is another kingdom. And if we go into, if we follow the story, we go to Matthew 4, 8 through 10. Satan and Jesus are having a shootout, right? Jesus has just completed 40 days of fasting. He's been baptized by John the Baptist. He's come into the time of ministry. He's been baptized by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness for 40 days. At the end of that time, it says he became hungry and the devil came to tempt him. You'd be hungry after 40 days, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. The devil came to tempt him. And the devil says this. He says he offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth in their splendor if he will fall down and worship, if Jesus will fall down and worship him. Now, it doesn't say he offered Jesus the earth. The earth is the Lord's. It doesn't say he offered him the people. And the people of the earth belong to the Lord. It says he offered him this world system, these kingdoms and all their wealth. The thing that, the lust that men seek. It's like offering Jesus again to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Jesus takes, instead of Adam didn't go back to the command of God. Jesus goes back to the command and said, "You will worship the Lord your God only." Remember that? So there is a clash of kingdoms. And actually Jesus didn't say this, but he could have. He said, "You know what? He could have said, your time is so short. In no time at all, these kingdoms of the world will belong to the Lord and his Christ," right? Well, in other words, the kingdoms of the earth belong to Jesus Christ now. He didn't have to do a deal with the devil, all right? It says that in Revelation. So Jesus even teaches his disciples to pray this: "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the kingdom of God. praying that God's kingdom would come into our life. It's not a future prayer. A lot of times, a lot of us learn to pray this prayer at a baptism or at a wedding or at a funeral. It's a graveside prayer around, if many of you have been to a graveside service at a cemetery. And as we pray this prayer, we somehow think, oh Lord, someday may your kingdom come. Someday may your will be done. May heaven's will come to earth, and may this old fallen world change. Well, amen to that. But that prayer is not a someday prayer. That day is a today prayer. That day is a present tense prayer, because the phrase right behind it says, and give us this day our daily bread. What God is asking us to do, Jesus is teaching us to pray that his kingdom would come into our daily life today. Amen. That his will would come into our life today. And that we would be delivered from evil. In other words, we're in a battle of two kingdoms. And I want to tell you the story that God's desire is that his kingdom prevail in your life and not the kingdom of darkness. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Now, I don't know, you know, maybe we like the idea of God, but we kind of put the devil into a fictional category. No, he's real. But I do want to tell you this. The Bible teaches us that on the cross, Jesus conquered death, hell, amen, and the power of sin. And he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And so, the story goes on. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Did you know that there is not a square inch of ground in the universe that does not belong to Jesus Christ? Not a square inch. And so, the Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers in heavenly places, right? Our battle is not against people. Our battle is not against the earth. It is against the spiritual stronghold of darkness. Now, Paul goes on to say this. This is pretty exciting. He says this. This is his confession in Acts 26:17. He's before, I think, Festus or Felix, one of those guys that starts with an F, a Roman ruler. Just slips my mind at the moment. And Paul is telling the story of how God called him as a man who used to persecute the church to one who is now spreading the truth about Jesus all across the world. And he says, this is what God told me. I am sending you to them, the Gentiles, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. See, what God has come to do is to take us from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and put us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son. This is what's happened. If you're a believer in Jesus today, this is what's happened for you. And so now you are no longer under the authority of that other kingdom, believer. You're not under that controlling realm of darkness. But if you've not given your life to Christ, or perhaps you think, you know what, I'm not worried about that, I'm enjoying my time in the kingdom of darkness. Well, the kingdom of darkness has a prevailing power. It's a power of chaos.
Right, it's true.
It's a power of hatred. It's a power of lust, the power of pride, the power of arrogance. It says in 1 John that the whole world is under control of the evil one. It's talking about that world system, the system that the devil was going to offer Jesus. It is governed by the lust of men and the craving for power. And it has a ruling authority. And I want to say this to you as a believer. God warns us again and again, doesn't he, to follow his commandments. The reason is, when we stray outside of God's law and we walk in our own way, or we walk in the ways of the kingdom of darkness, you know what? You can get burned, right? You can be touched by that prevailing power because it rules that realm. Sometimes we think that we can engage in sin and there's no consequences. You know, if you've lived any length of time, that's not true. Amen. And actually, you know, it's interesting. If you really want to look at it, so many of the things that we struggle with go back to the very beginning, is that God says, don't eat of that tree, and we rebel. We say, God, I want to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil because I feel like I'm not experiencing life. There's more to life than what I'm experiencing now, right? It's easy to feel that way. Young people often struggle with that temptation as if they're missing out on something. And your parents are trying to tell you the other side of the story because they may have lived through that and they're trying to spare you that pain. Can any parents say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because when we walk, you know, I know that so many times God saves our bacon. He watches out for us. He cares for us. But when we walk into the realm of darkness, we become subject to the ruler of that realm. And we think that we can just be unscathed. It's one thing to be the light of Christ where God calls you. It's another thing to abandon our faith, to engage in disobedience when God has not called us to do that. Right? Am I making any sense to you? So we're living in the reality of the battle of two kingdoms, and I want to tell you which one is more powerful. The kingdom of the Son of God is more powerful. And you know what? Sometimes as Christians, the enemy lies to us. And if we're struggling with an addiction or a sin issue in our life, he'll tell us things like this, you know, you're never going to beat that. You're never going to overcome that. You're always going to be subject to that. You're always going to fall to that. Blah, 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 blah. He gives us a lie. But you know what? We're not called to listen to him.
That's right.
Right? We're not called to obey that darkness. We're called to be free by God and to walk into his life. We're called to serve God only.
Yeah.
Jesus said to the, it was a story about a rich young ruler. He said, Master, he said to Jesus, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the commandments. He said, I do know the commandments, and I have kept all of them since I was young. And it says Jesus looked at him and loved him because this guy had a good heart. He really was sincere in his question. But then Jesus said this. You know, he said, I have kept all those commandments since I was young. Jesus said, all right, just do this one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. And then it says the man's heart was downcast and he walked away. Well, you know what? He said that he had kept all those commands since he was young. But right off the bat, you realize that he had already violated the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me.
Right.
His wealth was his God. And Jesus called him on it. You know, that may not be our issue. But where is God asking us to shake off the chain of darkness in our life and walk into the life of the kingdom of God? Where is it that he's asking us to do that? Because I think that God does, no, I need to say this. I know that God does not want us to be subject to darkness and bondage anymore.
That's right.
I want to read this verse for you again, and I want to close. It says, for he has rescued us from the dominion. Dominion, it means rulership. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. There is no reason, believer, there is no reason for you to remain in struggle over sin and over darkness in your life. God has come to rescue us. And then it says this, and he brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Now some of you might think, I might think, this is where I often go. You know, if I really repent, God will forgive me. I mean, if I really turn my back on all the things I'm doing and all the mistakes I've made, if I really start doing things right, then he will forgive me, right? So I heard this story. This young man went up to a man of God and said, "Is it true? Is it true that if I really repent and if I really turn away from sin, if then God will forgive me?" And the man said, "No, it's not true. God will forgive you so you can repent." Forgiveness comes first. Nothing ever comes from our own effort. It's not by works that we're saved. Amen. God offers us a gospel of forgiveness so that we can be free. You might ask yourself this question. On what Jewish holiday did the crucifixion occur? Anybody know? Passover, when the blood of the lamb was applied to the doorposts and the angel of death skipped over the house of the people of faith. Passover, when Pharaoh, out by the power of God, released those in bondage. Passover, when the people of faith went to the Egyptians and asked them, this is in the Bible, asked them for gold and silver and precious things, and they had been enslaved for years, and God restored to them all that had been taken from them. Passover, when God gave them a new identity as his people and led them out of bondage of Egypt. That's Passover. You as a believer have been rescued from the Egypt of darkness. You've been transferred into another kingdom. God has not called us to be slaves of sin and slaves of fear. Amen. He's called us to be slaves of God, of servants of his Holy Spirit, sons and daughters of God. So I hope in 2017, as we start to read the story of the epistles, and we read about God's church growing in the earth and God revealing himself through his church, that we will understand, really understand, that God has not called us to live this half-life of struggle. You know, I know that we're going to have failures. We're human beings. The Bible says God knows that we're dust, and yet it says he has compassion on us. Can I encourage you this year to live in the forgiveness of God? Would you do that for me? Would you live in the forgiveness of God? Just the assumption that God forgives you so that you have the power to live for him. Amen. He's not called us to turn away from him in shame. He's come to find us, and in Jesus we're found. Amen. He's come to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness and to transfer us into the kingdom of the Son, whom he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Let's stand this morning, all right? Now, I want to pray for us in three different ways. One is, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, and you want to be free, maybe you feel like the darkness that you're in is too dark for God. The Bible says darkness and light are alike to him. The Bible says, Corrie ten Boom says this, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." No matter where you are, Christ Jesus wants to set you free. I'd like you to pray with me this morning. You can agree with this prayer in your heart. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness in my life, and I ask you to wash me and cleanse me. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift of forgiveness you offer me. And I receive that gift. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Will you come invade my life with your kingdom? Will you transfer me from the ways of darkness into the waves of your Son? In Jesus' name. Now I want to pray for those of us And I could say us, because I would include myself in this. I know there are times that I allow myself to be ruled by dominions of darkness in my thinking, whether it's fear of the future, whether it's lust or pride or arrogance or the pride of life, whatever it is, those things that are besetting sins, whatever you're struggling with, let's pray. Let's take it to God in our heart because He knows us. He knows each one of us. Lord, You see this area of my life that I am struggling with. But when I read Your word, it's not Your will for me. It's not Your will for me to struggle with lust or pride or fear or worry or anger or unforgiveness or those things that are in the darkness, those things that are ruling the world. It's not what You've made me for. You've made me to be free. But God, You know my heart. I confess these issues to You and I ask You, Lord, help me. Lord, I thank You that You forgive me, that I am free in Your Son. And Lord, I ask that You would invade my life and my thinking and my mind with Your word. I lay aside those strongholds in my thinking that say I can never be better. I can never be free. I'm always going to be subject to this sin. Lord, those are lies. You've called me to know You. So I thank You today for Your forgiveness. And I pray, God, I would serve You first. That I would not let those other gods rule over me. Help me not to listen to those lies of darkness, God, but help me to serve You. And Lord, when I'm weak, help me to call out to my brothers and sisters. Help me to pray and stand in faith, believing You, God, to help me. Lord, I want 2017 to be a year of my freedom. It's what You've made me for. So I cry out to You, Abba, Father, help me. Thank You, Lord. And finally, I want to pray that God would meet us this year in a new liberty in our life, in our heart. Amen. A new sense of His awesomeness and His greatness. A new sense of optimism. Listen, we've got a news media and a world culture that is so negative and cynical and angry. It's just going to go on and on. It's never going to change. But I'm going to tell you what is longer and stronger than that. It's the kingdom of the Son of God. Of all people on this world, we have the most to be optimistic about. So Lord, today we thank You for a year coming ahead of us, a year of good things, a year of favor of the Lord, a year of opportunities to be light and salt in the world You've called us to. Thank You, God. I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. You know this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May God just fill you and touch you and meet you. Amen. As we grow in the knowledge of God, as we learn to love Jesus more and more.